This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy joined the show in 2023. We had so much fun. The governor is back today. Governor Murphy, great to have you return to Sports Jam.
Nice to be back, Doug. It's almost 2 years since we've done this gig, so very happy to be back with you.
We're just thrilled to have you on the show. I always said you're welcome back anytime. The last time, you talked about your passion for Boston sports, the Red Sox, the Patriots, the Celtics, and Bruins. I wanted to start off this episode with soccer because people are soccer crazy right now, especially with the World Cup coming to the U.S. next year. You're one of the owners of FC Gotham in the National Women's Soccer League. You used to be the majority owner, and First Lady Tammy Murphy also involved with the team. Before we get into the FIFA World Cup, let's spend a few moments on what it's been like to own a soccer franchise, especially winning the championship in 2023.
Lynn Williams does really, really well under pressure to put the ball out of play. And now it's anybody's guess how many more seconds remain before Gotham are crowned champions. But Rain, if they could just get a shot on goal. Oh, they've done it! Gotham have done it! Gotham FC, the 2023 champions!
Yeah, pretty darn special. Gotham FC, NJNY Gotham FC is the team. We've been, I think we're the longest serving active owners of a professional women's soccer team. If anything, Doug, we got in too early. The financial pain early on was fairly significant, but it was the right thing to do. And I'm thrilled that Tammy has been the chair now since early days as governor, because I didn't have the bandwidth. And she's taken, along with the whole team, taken Gotham to new heights. As you rightfully mentioned, we won the league almost now coming up on 2 years. The team is filled with international stars. Right now, the Euro championships are on, and in the semifinals, the Spanish number one goal scorer plays for Gotham. The German goaltender who had one of the greatest goalie games of all time recently is our goaltender. So it's really fun as well. And we've got a whole bunch of American national players like Rose Lavelle, Emily Sonnet, and others. It's pretty cool when you pile all that together, and it's something that we're really, really proud of.
You mentioned maybe a little bit of the wrong time when you first got involved. What is the state of women's soccer right now?
It's booming. It is absolutely booming. It's following a curve that Major League Soccer, the men's league, followed sort of in its 10 to 15 year maturity period. This is not the first women's league. If you count it at the high levels, it's probably the third league. We've been in all of them. But it is right now booming. Fans are showing up. Sponsors are sponsoring. We have high-quality players on the pitch. It's like not quite in the WNBA zeitgeist, but it's in a similar slipstream right now.
You talked about last time how, you know, you really fueled your passion when you were in Germany in the private sector, and then you got married and had your kids, and you became the U.S. ambassador to Germany. And watching all those matches and your kids getting involved in soccer. But you said that you played the game poorly. I want you to explain what that means. Let's have a little fun here. How bad were you at this game? Couldn't have been too bad.
Doug, I was awful. I played it for a few years. I still play, by the way. When we're on a family vacation, we'll most days play a family soccer game, and we'll have whoever's with us, friends, play with us. So we still love it. And our kids actually played at high levels, one of whom won a national championship in Division III in college. But I was a substitute. I was a striker. And I wasn't any good, Doug. I'd like to embellish you with stories, but it wouldn't be accurate. My wife's a very good athlete. And I think that's where our kids get their skills. But we love the sport, notwithstanding the fact that I was pretty lousy.
Okay, you're honest. The FIFA World Cup comes to the U.S. next year, 2026. The final will be played at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford. The fact that you put all this work in to get the tournament to come to the U.S. and to the Meadowlands at East Rutherford at MetLife Stadium. Is it a bit disappointing that after all this work, when it's actually here, you won't be governor?
Yes and no. I'm most importantly a huge fan, and it's going to be great for Jersey, and that I will be thrilled about whether I'm governor or not. We just had a really successful first ever Global Club World Cup. We hosted nine matches, including a quarterfinal, both semis, and the final. In those last four games, we had over 70, in one case, over 80,000 fans at MetLife. Came off without a hitch. Incredible tournament. And that was sort of a warm up, if you will, an appetizer for next year's main event. We'll have eight matches, five first round, two elimination round games, and then we'll have what folks are calling with great conviction, it'll be the most watched event, not sporting event, event period in human history, the FIFA Men's World Cup final on July 19th, 2026 at the Meadowlands. It's just a huge, huge deal for New Jersey, for the region. New York City's our co-partners. They've been great to work with. Can't tell you how excited we are. By the way, Doug, this is a big shout out to the soccer fans out there. Next year's tournament will be 48 teams for the first time ever. I mentioned we've got eight matches at the Meadowlands. There are 104 in total, meaning 96 will not be at the Meadowlands, which, why do I say that? The fan fests that will build up in the region will be a huge deal. We just basically announced the biggest, which is at Liberty State Park in Jersey City. It will be the only fan fest anywhere that will have all 104 matches, and its capacity at any moment will be 45,000 fans. So not just in MetLife, but in the fan fests, in the restaurants, the bars, on the streets, in the communities. This is a huge deal.
Yeah, congratulations on all your work that you've put into that. The Club World Cup, having teams like PSG and the fact that you had Chelsea and Real Madrid in the semifinals at MetLife. Obviously, you talked about it, but you were real pleased how everything turned out.
Really pleased. We averaged in the first round games 35 to 40,000, which was better than expectation. And that was including for some teams that are not household names, a very strong side from South Korea. By example, Ulsan Hyundai or Ulsan HD. That's not Real Madrid. But we had tens of thousands of people for their match. So, and then the last four games were sellouts. Uber sellouts, high quality competition, the best clubs in the world, playing their best players, playing for a big prize money, just really, really special and successful.
Ready to pop the cork. To come out. That's it. Chelsea Club World Cup champions. What a month and a half it has been for Enzo Maresca. After lifting the Europa Conference League, it's now the Club World Cup and a statement victory to re-establish Chelsea back amongst the elite. They have made it a blue day in New Jersey. Cole Palmer setting them in motion for big trophies for Paris Saint-Germain this season. But the Club World Cup eludes them.
Some other countries have criticized the fact that the U.S. got the World Cup, saying they don't have enough fan base or they're not into it enough. What would you say to those people?
Yeah, I'd say respectfully, they're wrong. First of all, we're co-hosting it with Canada and Mexico, so we don't have all the games, and it isn't just the US. But I'll give you a data point, which I think says all you need to say. We last hosted the World Cup, the US, that is, in 1994. I mentioned next year we'll have 48 teams. We've had 32 teams for a number of cycles, but in 94, there were only 24 teams. Only 24 teams. It still holds the all-time record attendance, total attendance record for any World Cup ever. We will sell out every single seat in every market, regardless of the teams. Fans will flock here from around the world. We think the New York, New Jersey region will have 1 million to 2 million visitors. probably the estimates $3 to $5 billion of economic activity, 15 to 20,000 permanent jobs. It's a game changer, and New Jersey will be ready, New York City will be ready, and America will be ready.
Now, obviously, you're going to root for the USA, but is there a soft spot for Germany?
Absolutely. Absolutely. USA number one without question. But Germany is a team we've followed over the years. As you mentioned, we've lived there twice, once in the private sector and once as the US ambassador. We went with our kids to matches literally every week. Our friends, our kids rather, are they have friends there. They're dogged. Our kids are dogged fans of the sport, not just in Germany for sure, but of the sport globally. But Germany, no question, has a soft spot in our heart. But we're rooting first and foremost for the US of A.
I've heard you mention in another interview that, and forgive me if my pronunciation isn't very good, Energie Cottbus, the Bundesliga number two team. One of the games that you witnessed there with your family was the game you will remember the most.
Yeah, it was Cottbus, which is in the former East Germany, and they were in the second league at that point, and it sounds like they still are, by your reference. But so this is not one of the big time clubs like Bayern Munich or Borussia Dortmund. And I, for the life of me, forget who they were playing, but we were taking our son Charlie for his 10th birthday weekend, and this was the sort of featured part of the weekend. And a player got knocked out. And it was so bad, they didn't just bring a stretcher out, the ambulance drove on the field. They carried the guy off. Everybody was convinced he had died. And this was a real tough rivalry between Cottbus and the other team. It was so emotional that each team's fans began singing the other team's fight song. The referee, it was toward the end of the game, the referee added something like 24 minutes of extra time. Both teams were emotionally drained. One team thought they had lost a teammate. The other team felt awful as well. They appealed to the referee. The referee refused to hear their appeal. So what they did, Doug, is each team lined its players up around the circle at the center of the soccer pitch and literally kicked the ball back and forth for those 24 minutes until the clock ran out. It was an extraordinary moment. And the great news is the guy lived and played again. So it had a happy ending there as well.
Great respect for each other when you see that happening. Do you golf a lot?
I started recently, Doug. I'm awful. My wife and I both started. We go on golf dates. We're going on one later this week. She's a very good athlete. I'm only slightly better at golf than I was at soccer.
All right, so she's not allowed to be an answer to this question. So I want you to have your ultimate foursome. Where you are allowed to go back in time.
Oh,
The
wow.
person does not have to be with us any longer. And I want you to pick one person. I might know who it is in sports. One person from the sports world, one person from the music world, and one person from the political world to join you on the course for
Oh,
a day
wow.
on the golf course. Who would it
Okay,
be?
putting aside that I suck and that they probably wouldn't be caught dead playing with me.
That they're excited to play with you. Keep it at that,
Doug,
Governor
aren't
Murphy.
you nice? Well, on the political one, I'd go with two guys I know, one of whom I work with, either Bill Clinton or Barack Obama. So that to me is an easy one. I don't know, they don't golf, so my first. Well,
They
the
don't
music.
have to. It's just
Okay.
an outing. Just it's basically the people that you
The
admire.
people you're with. I'm
Yeah.
going to say Jon Bon Jovi, who's a dear, one of our dearest friends.
It's my life, my heart is like the open highway. Like Frankie said, I did it my way. I just want to live while I'm alive. It's my life.
Not a golfer, but a great guy. And the first one was the sports world. Bear with me a second. I think I'm going with Brady, Tom Brady. How'd I
Okay.
do?
You did good. I didn't know if you were going to go with Yaz or Brady. So.
Yeah, so I don't. I assume Yaz golfs. He's in his 80s. So I'm not sure he still golfs, but I've seen Brady. Remember that during COVID, he and Mickelson and Tiger and Peyton did a fantastic for not foursome, but sort of match play. And I'm going with Brady.
Have you followed the career of Mike Yastrzemski?
I have. He's Yaz's
Grandson?
grandson. He's with the Giants. He's done well.
He has done well. Now, have you heard the story that went viral on social media about him catching the first pitch from Papa Jake?
No.
So Papa Jake was a World War II veteran, 102 years old, and he threw out the first pitch of the Giants game earlier this year, and he passed away just recently. And Mike was the one who was, even though he's left-handed, he was a catcher for the first pitch. And they got them on video talking about Yaz and what a fan that Jake really was. And Jake's first name, Jake's real name was Jake Larson. He was among the Allied troops in D-Day who attacked the Nazi Germany forces on the beaches of northern France in 1944. It was a special moment. You definitely
Oh,
want to check out Mike Yastrzemski and Papa Jake.
I'm going to check it out right afterward. I was a huge Yaz was my guy growing up. If you were in Boston in the 60s, the list, I mean, Williams had retired in 61, I think, but Yaz was the guy in baseball. Bobby Orr was the guy in hockey. Bill Russell and Bob Cousy were the guys in basketball. Patriots were, ironically, given all the success they had later, they were awful. But there were some guys there, Gino Cappelletti, a few others that we rooted for. But I love Yes.
You went through sports pains. I'm going through it right now in Pittsburgh. Our teams are lousy, but I did have success growing up. You kind of had just the opposite. You had pain when you were growing up and then huge success for your teams. The Red
Yeah.
Sox are playing great right now.
Yeah, knock on wood. They just played the Cubs. They lost the first two, but then blew them out in game three. And I think the Cubs might be a sleeper choice to go to, if not win the World Series. So I don't think the Sox need to hang their heads too much playing them. But they're good. They have won 10 in a row before the break.
Now it's up to Carlos Narvaez, the former Yankee, trying to beat his old team right here. Swing and a shot.
They've got really good young guys. They've sprinkled in some veterans, Alex Bregman being the most notable. I like the team a lot. How far they'll go, I can't tell, but I really like what they're putting together.
Do you have a Boston sports package at home?
Yeah, we have NESN, New England Sports Network, absolutely. And I'm a religious viewer. They're playing actually as we speak. I'm not sure when this will air, but they've got a big series against the Phillies. And we're actually going to go to one of the games in Philadelphia.
I was going to ask you, I expected you to be in Philadelphia for one of those games, so you answered that
Keep
question.
me in your prayers with the rabid Philadelphia fans down there. I'll keep a low profile in terms of my Sox paraphernalia.
The funny story that I passed on, my lady Rose, she wore a St. Louis Cardinals Albert Pujols jersey years ago to a Phillies game. And it was right after he had said that he wasn't going to play in the All-Star game. Well, she sat down and, we had pretty nice seats and they started on her. I don't want to play in the All-Star game. And then Pujols came up and hit a ball to center field that they're still looking for. He ended up having like four home runs in the series. They didn't say another word after he hit that shot.
His day, he was as good as it gets, but they are rabid fans. They're like Boston or and New York fans. It's sort of a Northeast thing, I think. And they love their Philadelphia sports teams. And as of course, you and I know, all of South Jersey are rooting for Philadelphia teams. So I get reminded frequently when I'm down there that the Eagles beat the Patriots a few years ago in the Super Bowl.
That's true. So, Rafael Devers got traded from your team. That was like the big news in Major League Baseball before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I was not shocked because they had a real breakdown with him this year. And I don't know who's at fault. I don't know if it's him or management, but there was a real breakdown, and it didn't shock me. The key to that trade will be a pitcher named Kyle Harrison, who was viewed to be one of the really hot minor league rising stars. He was called up by the Giants and has been a little sideways, and the Red Sox have him now in AAA, trying to retool his delivery. If he pans out, that will look good in the rearview mirror. If he doesn't, my guess is it won't look as good. And I'm not sure it's because Devers is gone that the Red Sox are winning. I think that's harsh on him. It may well be just luck of the draw, but I do know they feel like they've got a really good mix in chemistry right now. So we shall see. Wish him nothing but the best, but we move on.
Obviously, you get some perks as governor when it comes to going to sporting events, but how difficult is it being the governor of New Jersey and trying to keep track in your sports passions? Has it taken away a lot of that? Do you have to catch up at odd times?
I'm a pretty big sports nut, Doug, so I'm pretty up on it, and happily so. And it's a good diversion from a lot of the stuff that you have to deal with in a job like mine, which has some real gravity associated with it, if not tragedy. I mean, look at the weather we've had the past several weeks, including lightning strikes that have killed people, or trees that have fallen on cars with people inside who were killed, or people who drown in floods. I say all that because sports is a nice counterpoint. This kid, Chris Gotterup, who's from a town literally directly across the river from where we live, is a great golf story right now. He won the Scottish Open 2 weeks ago. He finishes third in the British Open. That's an example of a story. And it turns out, our kids are plus or minus his age. Everybody's got sort of 1 or 2 degrees of separation from this kid. He's a CBA grad, Christian Brothers Academy. That's an example. The woman who was in Amanda Anisimova played for the Wimbledon final, is from Freehold. Scottie Scheffler, by the way, is originally from Bergen County. His family moved when he was a young kid. So, like a lot of things, Jersey punches above its weight, and it's fun. We're big Rutgers fans. So it's a great diversion. It happens to be a diversion you don't have to sell me on. I love it. And incredibly proud of it.
What's the one thing that you want to accomplish as governor that you haven't had the chance to as your final term runs down now? Is there something that you definitely want to see happen that you've been, hoping forever that you could make a difference in that?
You mean beyond the sports realm? Yeah, I think it's largely, I know this answer. I probably need to get a better answer because I've got 6 months to go and the clock is ticking. But the one message I would give to everybody is we're going to run through the tape, and we'll largely be doing more of what we've been doing. I'd give you one example of many. So here's the one example I would hang my hat on. We have a nation-leading clemency initiative underway. It's a multi-month, year and a half or two process. It's one of a kind. It's giving people who deserve it a second chance. I think we're the second chance state. Getting that right through the end of our time in office with a couple more batches of folks who were either pardoning or whose sentences were commuting. And that's lives. And all of the gravity that goes with those decisions, which ultimately gets made, every one of them, by me personally. That's an example of something that, to some extent, we've done already, but we're going to do more of that. And I think that's emblematic of a lot of other things, as opposed to a one-off whiz bang that you've never heard of before. There might be some of that, but it's going to be largely, I think, Doug, the stronger, fairer, more responsible state. Stronger is growing the economy. Fairer is shrinking inequities. More responsible is being a state that people can trust again. That's going to be, I think, the three dimensions that will define our last 6 months.
Just a couple minutes left here in Sports Jam. Greatest sporting event you ever went to and why?
Wow. Boy, that's a I mean, the Club World Cup in New Jersey final was incredible. That's a recent experience. And I was pinching myself, saying to my wife, I can't believe we're in New Jersey. We're watching Paris Saint-Germain against Chelsea in a game that counts. Game seven, Celtics Sixers in 1981, where Larry Bird banks in a shot at the buzzer. Game seven, that would be up there. Couple of Super Bowls. Remember the 49ers Bengals Super Bowl where Montana took them down the field at the end of the game to win it in Miami?
What end zone were you at that game?
I was at the like the 20-yard line, but at the other end of the catch that I think was it John Taylor made that catch? Does
Yes,
that sound
correct.
right?
Yep. You know your sports, Governor.
I do know my sports.
Weiss has just set a Super Bowl record with 12 catches. He's in motion. Montana.
Some crazy games that our kids played that were incredibly memorable. Our son assisted and scored a goal in the last minute of a game against a huge rival to win a game 2-1. That's a personal one. But yeah, just love being at sporting events, amateur or pro, and just love being in the crowd.
And I love talking sports with Governor Phil Murphy. Always an honor to talk to you, Governor. Thank you so much for joining us here on Sports Jam and continued success.
Thanks, Doug. Same right back. Thanks for having me.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can hear all the past shows by going to WBGO.org/sportsjam or WBGO.org/studios. You can also find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.